Each week leading up to Christmas, we look at one gift that God offers us: hope, love, joy, peace. This morning, we start Advent focusing on hope. In 1 Peter, he tells us to be prepared to give an answer for the reason for the hope that we have. It's easy to say my hope rests in Christ alone, but why? What is it about Christ that makes him worthy of all my hope? Advent is a time of thinking about the why. It comes from the Latin word meaning coming. A fourth grader is learning verb tenses, past, present, future. So we're knee-deep in verb conjugations at our house. So to use a grammar metaphor, my hope is in Christ who came, who comes, and who will come again. My hope is in Christ who came, past tense. We celebrate Advent with a thing called a Jesse tree. It's the bigger picture of God's purpose and plan for a Savior and gives context to the birth of Christ. The idea comes from Isaiah 11, 1-2. A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From his roots, a branch will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him. It's basically Christ's family tree from the first chapter of Matthew. And most of the year, to be honest, we sort of skip over any long list of names that we run across in the Bible, but not for the month of December. Starting four Sundays before Christmas, each day we light a candle on this really sweet wooden wreath. There's something about the candlelight that sort of quiets us and causes us to slow down and talk in hushed tones. Then we read an event in chronological order that led to Christ's coming. And I love that it's this motley crew of characters. This was a great description. God selects Jacob, who cheats his way to first place, Judah, who sells his brother into slavery, David, who steals a wife and murders a rival, but who also composes profound and beautiful psalms of praise, people who were complex mixtures of sinner and saint. Generation after generation, we see how God was faithful and never gave up on those sometimes stiff-necked people, people riddled with flaws that he used to further his kingdom and accomplish his purposes. That sings to me of hope. It shows me that God won't give up on me. He will use me despite my failings and woundedness, or maybe even because of it. In 1 Corinthians, Paul says God's power works best in weakness. Well, thank goodness. My hope is in Christ who comes, present tense. I accepted Christ approximately 20 years ago and was baptized a few years back, and those were momentous occasions where Christ came in a big way, the I was blind and now I see kind of moments. But as it turns out, I need a Savior daily. I am hopeless, left to my own devices. I need a virgin birth for God to come and inhabit my insides and overshadow me with his Spirit as he did with Mary. I need him to do what only he can do continuously, and he does. He offers hope like manna and life-sustaining daily quantities. A disclaimer here, God comes always. He can come in big, hard-to-miss ways, or, as 1 Kings tells us, is the still small voice that, if I'm not careful, can go unnoticed. And sometimes there are periods of silence where it feels he isn't coming at all. And those times can be unbearable. But in my experience, when the silence ends, and it does, there is a sense that I wasn't alone. He came and just sat quietly by my side. He plans to give me hope and goodness, the prophet Jeremiah says, but I must seek him with my whole heart, and that's the hard part. Acts 17:27 says God wants us to seek him, to reach out for him, and to be found by him. But what I've been learning, and I'm a miserably slow learner, is that much of my Christian walk is about choice. I have to choose hope. God has given me this beautiful, terrible thing called a free will. He's always offering me hope, but I must do my part. As is true in any relationship, if it's one-sided, it breaks down. So I must pay attention, be alert, and make room for him. The last few weeks in doing this, I've been thinking a lot about hope, and when I tune my heart to seek it, guess what? I find it all over the place. What would happen if we all thought on hopeful things, looked for hopeful things? In our circumstances, spouses, kids, co-workers. Advent and Lent too, then, are like boot camp for my soul, intense tweaking and training and learning for my heart. Christ came, he comes, and he changes lives, and that's all so good. Hope is tangible when my kid with cerebral palsy learns to snap or makes a friend and for a moment feels like everyone else. Or the woman in Bible study shares that God is teaching her to look past people's exterior and see their heart. Or the unwed pregnant woman who bravely gives up her baby for adoption and in doing so gains a ministry to help others. But I can still look around the world and, like the prophet Habakkuk, say, "Why, Lord, do you make me look at injustice? Why do you tolerate wrong? Justice and violence are before me." There's still longings this world doesn't satisfy, and questions I don't have answers to, and things about life and God that don't make sense to me. My hope is in Christ, who will come, future tense. He will come again to set all things right and make all things new. I don't know the details, the when or where or how, post-tribulation, pre-tribulation, all that, but God gives us some pretty great imagery, tastes of heaven, his future and final coming, a feast of the finest proportions, a bride preparing for the bridegroom. Isaiah 25, "On this mountain, the Lord Almighty will prepare a feast of rich food for all peoples, a banquet of aged wine. On this mountain, he will destroy the shroud that enfolds all peoples, the sheet that covers all nations. He will swallow up death forever. The sovereign Lord will wipe away tears from all faces. He will remove his people's disgrace from all the earth." Then in Revelation, John sees a new heaven and a new earth. "For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a beautifully dressed bride for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Look, God's dwelling place is now among his people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things had passed away.' He who was seated on the throne said, 'I am making everything new.'" That's good news of great joy for all people. That's worth decorating the house all up, stringing some lights, and cooking a big meal to celebrate that one day I will see God's face and there will be no more night. So my prayer for us this Advent is Romans 15:13. May the God of hope, who came and comes and will come again, fill us with all hope and peace as we trust in him, so that we may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit.